Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good morning and welcome to the program with me, Assumpta Latus. Coming up, Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe has appointed Emmerson Mnangagwa as his new vice president. What do Zimbabweans think of his decision?
I think the appointment is not good for ZANU-PF as a party. Most people have been sidelined. Those who are being purported to be the ones who are defending factionalism. But on the other hand, those guys were working hard so that the nation can grow.
Also on the program, South African prosecutors in Oscar Pistorius' trial have won an appeal of the manslaughter verdict.
There are certain legal issues that need clarity from the highest court in the land. We were of the view that there were errors that were made by the Honourable Judge in this matter.
Those stories more coming up in the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has appointed Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa as his new vice president in the ruling ZANU-PF party and for the country. Mnangagwa will be replacing Joyce Mujuru, who got fired for allegedly plotting to unseat Mugabe. Mugabe also named former diplomat Pelekezela Mpoko as the second vice president. The two will be sworn in on Friday. From Harare, Columbus Mavunga reports.
The hardliner and Mugabe loyalist Mnangagwa has, since the firing of Vice President Joyce Mujuru last week, been tipped to replace her. It was no surprise on Wednesday when Mugabe came out of a ZANU-PF leadership meeting and said this to reporters.
They are two vice presidents, one of whom will be drawn from a former ZAPU and the other naturally from ZANU. From ZANU side is Emmerson Mnangagwa. We say congratulations to him. Congratulations to him. From the former ZAPU side, we get a report Mpoko.
ZAPU is a party which joined Mugabe's ZANU-PF in 1987. Mpoko is a former diplomat and a businessman, making him less powerful to Mnangagwa, who has been a cabinet minister since the country's independence in 1980. Mugabe said he would announce Zimbabwe's new cabinet before the end of the week. Nathan Ndoro is a political student at the University of Zimbabwe and thinks the new setup of ZANU-PF will not take the country forward.
I think Mugabe and his crew, particularly Mnangagwa, have managed to fight the other gang of Mamjuri and the other camp. But I think the appointment is not good for ZANU-PF as a party, because most people have been sidelined. Those who are being purported to be the ones who are defending factionalism. But on the other hand, those guys were working hard so that the nation can grow.
Those sidelined include Joyce Mujuru, who was fired as vice president on Tuesday after she fell out of favor with Mugabe. The Africa's oldest leader accused Mujuru of plotting to assassinate him. Mujuru has since dismissed the allegations as, quote, ridiculous, as they did not have an iota of evidence.
Columbus Mavunga reporting. Now, with his appointment as deputy to President Robert Mugabe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, a secretive hardliner known as the Crocodile, is most likely to become the eventual successor to Africa's oldest head of state. What would that mean for Zimbabwe? I put that question to an independent economic analyst, Vincent Musewe.
It takes away a lot of anxiety because there was a lot of speculations on who would Mugabe appoint, so we can now focus on the economy. Initially, we had actually predicted that Mnangagwa could be the next guy. You remember there were rumors that when Mugabe went to China, he was told that China is basically backing Mnangagwa as the next president. So this kind of confirms it in a way. But the good thing is that at least you got a substantive person, not just a lame duck vice president, which is good.
And what should we really expect coming out of these two new guys in terms of the way ZANU-PF is operating?
Well, at least what it does, it stabilizes ZANU-PF. in Zimbabwe, the ZP really has never had a substantive role to play in managing the country, because Mugabe doesn't like to delegate. But given his age and where he's at, about time he retired, so we're expecting that at least more work could be given to a younger Mnangagwa, who is quite aware of the issues, particularly on the issues facing the economy of foreign investment and whatever. The only danger is that China might have an increased role in the economy, which could then cloud out the rest of the West. They've had influence. Mnangagwa has worked with China for quite a while, even since the struggle. There are particular transactions, the mining transactions that have been done in the mining sector. So China has been working closely with Mnangagwa. And what I'm saying now, that is VP who have more influence, which could increase the influence of China in this particular economy. And obviously that would not be good for the West.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I don't know, hey, because the nature of the transaction that China has been actually carrying out in Zim have not been to the best advantage of Zimbabwe, but to the best advantage of China. And we've got a problem here in that we don't see China as a developmental partner. It has more been a political partner to ZANU-PF. All the deals they do, they kind of go through ZANU-PF, which crowds out everybody else in the private sector.
Well, we talked about the age of President Mugabe. Is that why he has appointed two deputies?
There's always been a deal between ZANU and ZAPU, which happened with the Unity Accord many years ago, that one of the vice presidents will always come from ZAPU. So this merely satisfies it. But we are not looking at the ZAPU Inc. to really have a significant influence. They've always been the second vice president. And the first vice president is the one who really becomes in charge if Mugabe is not around or if he goes away.
Is it now clear that Mnangagwa is the one going to succeed Mugabe?
It is never clear. Mugabe will never come out in the open. He is still the candidate for 2018. But I do not think he put Mnangagwa there simply for reasons of balancing ZANU-PF. I think he's also looking ahead.
I was speaking to Vincent Musewe, an independent economic analyst.
News, analysis and feature reports. All that here on Africa Link.
South African prosecutors in the Oscar Pistorius trial have won an appeal of the manslaughter verdict issued against him 3 months ago. They have been seeking harsher punishment for the athlete, who has been given a 5-year jail term for killing his girlfriend Reeva Steenkamp. Tuzo Kumalo was in court and filed this report from Pretoria.
In his application at the Supreme Court of Appeal, the state prosecutor argued that they want a higher court to rule if the judge applied the law correctly when she found Pistorius guilty of capital homicide instead of murder. They further wanted the Court of Appeal to determine if the 5-year jail sentence given to Pistorius fitted the crime that he committed. On Wednesday, Judge Masipa handed down her judgment and granted the state leave to appeal Pistorius' conviction.
Accordingly, the following questions of law are reserved for the consideration of the Supreme Court of Appeal: whether the principles of dolus eventualis were correctly applied to, whether the court correctly conceived and applied the legal principles pertaining to circumstantial evidence.
She, however, dismissed the application for review of sentence.
The application for leave to appeal against sentence is dismissed. It is ordered that the applicant pay the cost of the respondent in opposing the application to be taxed according to the scale in civil cases of the High Court.
The National Prosecuting Authority welcomed the judge's verdict and expressed the hope that the Supreme Court of Appeal will agree with the state that Pistorius should be found guilty of murder and not capital homicide. Nat Mube is the National Prosecuting Authority spokesperson.
There are certain legal issues that need clarity from the highest court in the land. And, you know, we were of the view that there were errors that were made by the Honourable Judge in this matter. And unfortunately for us, she agreed with us on the main one, which was the conviction on capital homicide. She was of the view that, you know, another court looking at the same matter might come to a different conclusion.
Legal expert Aldrich Rue director at the BDK Attorneys, says now all the records of the entire trial will be taken to the Supreme Court of Appeal, where five judges will scrutinize if Judge Masipa correctly applied the law of dolus eventualis before arriving to the culpable homicide conviction.
One could very well face a situation where he does qualify for correctional supervision. He's placed under correctional supervision after serving 10 months imprisonment. But then if the Supreme Court of Appeal should reach a different verdict, in other words, convict him of murder and hand down a different sentence of imprisonment, then he could very well be placed back into imprisonment.
Roo says it could be quite a while before the Court of Appeal announces its verdict.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting. In Cameroon, government forces have been cracking down on protesters who were planning to protest against a new draft law on terrorism. This happens only 2 days after the country's Senate and Parliament passed the law which will make terrorism punishable by death. In a bid to step up the fight against terrorism and crime in the country, the government has also started to recruit thousands of young people into the police force. Moki Kinzeka has more details.
Armed policemen were deployed to disperse members of civil society groups and opposition political parties who had turned out to protest the new draft law on terrorism. The law states that intimidating the population, provoking fear or disturbing public peace may be considered acts of terrorism. Maidadi Sadu of the National Union for Democracy and Progress, who is one of those who called for the protests, says the deployment of the police is a sign that Cameroon's president, Paul Biya, is ready to crack down on the masses and consolidate his hold on power when the draft anti-terrorism legislation finally becomes law.
This is a law that should be thrown into a trash can because it is very dangerous. The government wants to use it to stifle the opposition and trade unions in the country. That is the truth. But let me tell you that when the period of social incubation of a people is at its end, no law and no army can stop them.
Government spokesperson and communication minister Issa Chiruma Bakari described all those who are calling for the law to be abolished as people who want to use it as a pretext to press for President Paul Biya to relinquish power.
Some of them have begun calling for popular uprising to realize their old dream. Cameroonians are neither naive nor foolish.
Meanwhile, Cameroon's police chief says he has started recruiting thousands of young Cameroonians into the police force as proposed by Biya and approved by lawmakers.
Comme je l'ai annoncé à l'Assemblée nationale,
as I informed Parliament during a special session on Cameroon's security, President Paul Biya has decided that we shall recruit 9,400 policemen. We shall not be strict on the official maximum age, which was set at 27 years. We are recruiting people up to 30 years old.
Many people here believe that the regime is using this law to prevent a repeat of what happened in Burkina Faso in October, when a popular uprising ousted President Blaise Compaoré, who fled the country after 27 years in power.
That was Moki Kinteka reporting. And now it's that time of the week when we sit back and enjoy our radio novella Crossroads Generation, prepared by the Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome to a new episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
This third season of our radio series is called Facing the Future, and that's exactly what our young heroes are doing. Trudy is studying journalism, and she's just tried to put what she's learned into practice. But her first interview with local politician Mukaraba didn't go well.
There are rumors that your baby is not biologically yours. that you adopted her illegally.
Listen, young lady. I don't know who's been feeding you this malicious nonsense, but I'm warning you. Don't you dare print that.
What if I tell you I have a witness who says you adopted her sister illegally?
But wait a minute. Trudy's friend Mercy told her that in strictest confidence. And Mercy has a lot on her mind already. She's mother to a 3-year-old girl called Linda, whose father, Dan, disappeared to his home country right after Linda was born. But now he's back in town.
What do you want? Why are you here?
To see you and our daughter.
I have nothing to say to you, Dan. Goodbye.
And Dan's not the only one who suddenly reappeared in Mercy's life. Her father, Msoto, has also come back to the city after her mother threw him out 3 years ago. He claims to be a changed man and a believer in King Karubu. Let's see if he has really changed in today's episode, In the Name of the King.
Hey, what's all this noise? What's that man doing over there on the street corner?
It sounds like he's talking to the spirits of something. But why is he hanging that cloth on the wall?
I have no idea.
Come closer and witness the power of King Karubu.
King Karubu? Have you ever heard of him?
No, never.
Okay, come on, let's have a look.
Okay.
A few years ago, I, Msoto, was just a poor man. I hid in shame, for I was unholy and dirty.
He doesn't look that dirty now, in that nice clean suit.
Yeah, right. In fact, I want such a suit
but
myself.
But today,
yeah.
I am changed. Nobody is greater than my king. And you people are about to witness his greatness. Oh, Kimene, Kimene, King Karubu. Karubu, Kimene. King Karubu. With my spiritual eye, I, Msoto, see a man who has struggled on crutches for many years. Step forward, sir. Please, make way for this faithful man.
King Karubu. Here I am.
I invite you to follow me behind this curtain, for King Karubu can only work in privacy.
What? What is this nonsense?
Shh! Let us see what happens now they have disappeared behind the curtain.
King Karubu, I call upon you and your spirit.
What's that smell? And all these dust? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Mighty King Karubu, you have shown mercy and greatness.
Look, they're coming out.
I now ask this man to throw away his crutches. Throw away your crutches. In the name of King Karubu, I command you to throw away your crutches.
I can walk.
Incredible, really.
Amazing. I can't believe my eyes. What did you do?
Oh, Dan, thank God this working day is over.
Ah, you can say that again, Billy. And thank God it's payday. Let's go to the bus stop. This is the one day we have the luxury of taking public transport instead of walking home.
Oh, yes, I'm so tired.
Me too. Ah, the work at the building site is really hard. And then there's my ex-girlfriend.
Mercy, right? What about her?
Ah, I saw her yesterday. But she wasn't at all happy to see me. And she won't let me see my daughter either.
I told you.
Yeah. Maybe I should go back there once I've saved up some money so I can show her that I'm ready to help out.
Talking of money, you know you owe me, right?
I know. But please, Billy, after I pay my bills, there'll be nothing left. You do understand, don't you?
There's nothing to understand, Dan. It's not like you don't have money. You refused your father's offer to go to university and build up his company again. All because of your stupid pride.
You know what, Billy? Here's your money. Take it. Take it all. Just leave me alone.
That's not... Oh, come on. You're giving me everything you earned. You don't have to pay me all of it today.
Just leave me alone.
Well, at least let me pay your bus fare.
No, thanks. I'll walk home.
Thank you.
And then you just threw those crutches away. How come you never tried your hand at acting, Ben? You should have seen yourself when you shouted, "I can walk! I can run!"
Soto, I told you I could pull it off.
I almost burst out laughing. And the amazing thing is, they all believed it.
Hey, Msoto, How much did we make today in the name of King Karubu?
Considering that was our first miracle, the takings weren't bad at all.
Time to give and to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, then.
Okay. Here is your share. Payment for an excellent performance.
Thanks. Wow, this is a lot. We never made this much when we were preaching up country. Coming to the city was a great idea, Msoto.
Hey, remember, I'm here for family reasons. And if anyone asks, you don't know me.
I've never seen you before in my life.
Ben, I like you.
Two more beers for you, gentlemen.
Thank you. A toast to King Karubu.
To King Karubu.
To King Karubu. Long live King Karubu.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
Why is the office door locked? Open up, Nene.
Oh. Mukarabo, my boss. Sorry, I wasn't expecting you. You usually don't come to the club before midnight.
Close the door.
Sure, sir.
Listen, Imnene, I don't have much time. I want you to call this number and deliver this message.
Masim Soto, stop spreading rumors about Honorable Mukarabo. Keep your big mouth shut or you will lose your tongue. What? This is a threat.
I know. I would do it myself, but everybody knows my voice. Besides, you have a more threatening voice than I do.
That's not what I mean, sir. I'm a police officer. I could go to jail for
something.
Former
police officer. And you would be in jail right now for corruption if I hadn't helped you go into hiding.
But, sir, what's this written on the back? An address?
Yes. I need you to go there and get me the tape recorder that journalists used to record our conversation.
But, sir...
Wait. Listen, what's going on out there?
I told you, you don't get anything for free. Give me my money.
Oh, damn.
Please, listen to me for the last time. I have no more money left with me.
They are at it again.
Who is at what?
The girls are fighting with the client. He must have refused to pay for their services. The same thing happened yesterday and...
You'd better deal with that.
Yes, sir.
And Mnene?
Yes, sir?
Take care of that message. And the tape recorder, right away.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Oh, dear. It seems Trudy and Mercy both are in trouble. And was that their friend Tina we just heard through the door at the club? It sounds as if she's working there. Tune in next time if you want to know how the story continues. And check out our webpage on dw.de/LBE or follow us on Facebook. Bye for now.
And now, a quick look at what we have been covering. Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe has appointed hardliner Emmerson Mnangagwa as his vice president. South African prosecutors on Wednesday won their bid to appeal the culpable homicide verdict handed down to athlete Oscar Pistorius for killing his girlfriend Reeva Steenkamp. And that's it for today. Africa Link will be back again at the same time tomorrow. And if you have questions or comments, then drop us a line at our email address, which is feedback.africa@dw.de. Till next time, it's me, Assumpta Latus. Thanks for your company and goodbye.